Good morning. May the peace of God be with us all. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to everyone that has come out this morning, brave the cold, brave the ice. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. And may we have a blessed hour together, and may God be glorified, and may we be encouraged and edified to go on with life as God sees fit. So it's almost Christmas, 7 more sleeps. I see there's Sunday school children here this morning. You're very welcome this morning. And as I remember back many years, when I was a child, I still am, but an old one, we could hardly wait for Christmas morning. The anticipation of finding something. We didn't have a tree, we had bags or baskets or whatever. What would be in there? So how are we preparing ourselves for next Sunday? I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on. There's lots of preparation for family to come home, friends to gather together. We haven't been able to do that freely for the last number of years, so this year is special. We want all our children to be there. And how do we prepare? There's baking going on, there's menus being planned, there's decorations being put up, there's shopping to be done. Work in between all that yet. So where is Christ in that? Are we so busy preparing for Christmas that we're forgetting why we're preparing for Christmas? We're in the Advent season, and Advent means to prepare. And like I said, 7 more sleeps and then is Christmas. And it's the biggest time of the year across the world. It's the most celebrated. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is where it all began. Where we fell, where humankind fell away from God, separated from God because of sin. And then if you read from Genesis right through to Revelation, it tells us that we have a Redeemer that came. He did what he needed to do. And then he went back. And now we're waiting the return. And are we preparing ourselves for that as well? So today we want to look at a few things in Scripture about preparing ourselves for different events and what has happened and what may happen or will happen in the future. God prepared a lot of people, using people, different kinds of people, for the Messiah to come. He used young people, he used old people, he used rich people, he used very poor people. If you read Luke 2, we won't read it. He used Caesar Augustus. He used shepherds. He used Cyrenius, the governor. He used Joseph and Mary. And he used the wise men. All these he used to bring one person into the world. Are we prepared to meet him someday? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for the week that was, showing us that you are in control. We can plan as much as we want, but if you put a stop to it, it stops. We thank you for this time of year, where we anticipate the season of your birth the Messiah, the Redeemer, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for each one that has come out this morning to fill ourselves with your nutrients that you have provided in your word, to give us peace in our hearts and a longing for your return, so that we're ready. We praise you for who you are, for the love that you have shown us through the sacrifice that you were willing to give on the cross, so that we can have life and we can have it abundantly. This morning we pray for the ones that have no desire for you. They just want to live for themselves. We pray that you will touch them. Put up roadblocks. Put people in their lives so that they can see you and get to know you. You have told us in Scripture that you don't want the death of a sinner. You want the death of a saint, of one that knows you, of one that has taken you as your personal, as their personal Savior. We pray for the ones that would like to be here and can't because of circumstances, that you will also embrace them this morning so that they may feel your ever presence, your loving arms are wrapped around them and carrying through them through the circumstances so that they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We pray for our government that you will guide them. Help them to see that the path that they're taking most of the time is not honoring to you. We pray that they will look to you for guidance and they will govern so that this land will again be a land that follows you. We praise you, we honor you, and we glorify you in this hour. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will have some opening songs, please.
Let's take the red hymnal and turn to 76. The sun has now risen. 76.
God be the glory and good. to number 77, Blessed Christmas Time. 77.
In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Exactly the right time is what it means for the fullness of time. God sent us his Son. It took many years for that time to be just perfect. Fullness of time when everything was accomplished according to God's plan. And in today's world, we are living in an instant world. We want results now. We want things to be accomplished in our time, and we sometimes find it hard to understand why things take so long to be accomplished. But Jesus Christ was born exactly in the time that God had put forward. And Jesus Christ was born just the same way as you were born and I was born. The only difference was he was conceived differently than what you and I were conceived. He was conceived through the Holy Spirit, sinless. But he was a young child. He was born, I don't know how heavy, it doesn't tell us, but probably about 7 or 8 pounds. And he had to get his diapers changed, he had to be fed, he had to be bathed, exactly the same way you and I. He grew up the same way. He had to learn how to talk, he had to learn how to walk, he had to learn how to eat by himself, and all these things, he was the same as you and I. So why is that important? Why didn't God just beam somebody down from heaven and say, "This is now your Savior"? We often see on TV or magazines how these robots or aliens from another planet come down to Earth and people are afraid of them because they look so different and they just all of a sudden appear. It's all fiction, but whatever. If God would have done that, we would not have had the possibility of having a relationship with that kind of person would have been very slim because we would have been afraid of him. But now he was born the same way as we were. He became one of us. He did the same things you and I did as we grew up. Maybe not the same, but in a different culture, but the same kind of atmosphere, a family atmosphere. He had brothers and sisters just like you and I. He had to grow up to get along with them just like you and I. He probably fought with them just like you and I did. But he was one of us, and that's what makes it so different. So hard to believe that God would even send us somebody like that. He was tempted, like we read in Scripture. He got hungry. And sometimes, especially when he did the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke for hours on end. And after that, he was done. He was tired. He needed sleep. But above all, he had to go and talk to his Father. He needed time to commune with his Father because he says in Scripture, I didn't come to do what I want to do. I came to do what my Father wanted me to do. What I say, I don't say of myself. I say what the Father tells me to say. He was in a relationship with his Father, and he took time to go and talk to his Father. Every time he felt he needed, he was maybe a little weak or he was tired, he was drained, he said, okay, I'm going up that mountain and I'm going to be by myself if it takes all night. But I need that communion with my Father. That's where he got the power. And now he says to us, where do you get your power? Where do you think the power comes from? He says, I want a relationship with you. I want you to be my brothers and sisters. But I want you to follow me. I don't want you to go off some other track. I want you to follow my footsteps. Because I came for that reason. I came to save you from hell. I came to give you a good life. Not an easy life, but I came to give you a good life, one that you can be proud of and you don't have to feel bad about or guilty about. This time of year, we see the word peace everywhere. Peace and goodwill to all men. That peace starts right here. If we have peace with God, or if we have peace with man, then we can have peace with God. And sometimes it's said, like, we don't need to have peace with people. We just need to have peace with God. But we cannot have peace with God if we don't have peace with one another. We need both to have a fulfilling life. So this Jesus, is he in your life? That's the number one question this morning. Is Jesus in your life? Is he still in the manger? Or did he go to the cross for you? Did he die for your sins? Or don't you have sins? Is anybody perfect in this congregation this morning? He came for you. He left everything in heaven. He gave up all the riches that you can have. And he came down to this earth to become one of us. In Matthew, he says, Matthew 1, verse 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He came in human form, because God is spirit. But he came to be like one of us. And he had one mission in mind. We have a little bit telling us from the time he was born till he was 12 years old. There was a little bit written about him, how he was born and how he kind of grew up and how he went with his family to Bethlehem and all this kind of stuff and how he kind of got lost. Well, he didn't really get lost, but how he got separated from his family, and that's where it stops. After that, there's nothing written about him till he starts his ministry at 30 years old. So we don't know what happened during that other part of his life. Obviously, it wasn't important. But he grew up. In Luke, it tells us he grew in stature and in wisdom. So he probably went to school just like you and I. He had to write tests just like you children do. He had to write exams and see if he failed grade one or grade two. And all this stuff he did. We sometimes feel that we're not worthy because he's so perfect, right? But he became one of us so that he could feel along with you and me. That he could feel along with the sin that we're bombarded with every single day. He knows what it's like. I'm sure his brothers probably thought often, oh, that's goody two-shoes again. He never does anything wrong. But he was tempted with it. But he came to save us. In verses 5 and 6 of our text, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In Revelation 5, verse 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or yellow or orange. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you speak German or English or French or Spanish. It doesn't matter where you've been in life. He died for you to redeem you. The only way you can be redeemed is by the blood that this Jesus that was born in this manger, he shed, he died, and he spilt his blood. Why? To cover your sin. To make it as white as that snow is outside. That's why he came. He says in the last part of verse 5, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, when we adopt children, when people adopt children, they do all the paperwork. They're not their children. They're not their flesh and blood, but they're adopted into their family. And by adopting children, the parents are saying, you have the rights to all our resources that we have accumulated or what we want to accumulate. At the end of our life, all this stuff will be given to you. And that's what Christ is saying. If you follow me, if you are my sons and daughters, all my resources that I have from my Father, you are partakers of that. Do we want to be partakers of that? And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. God with us. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Where is that Holy Spirit? In us. That's God with us. He shall send forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Before I talked about peace, if we know Christ and the Spirit within us is good and working because Christ dwelleth in us, we have peace in our hearts. But what if we have turmoil in here? What does that tell us? When we're not at peace, are we then in a spiritual battle within ourselves? So why is that? Is this the Holy Spirit trying to tell us something when we're not at peace within ourselves? The Spirit is our witness. It leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us if we allow it to. But sometimes we kind of tell the Holy Spirit, why don't you go sit there for a while because I want to do this. And then it causes turmoil. And then we don't have peace anymore until we clear up what we have done. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Romans 8:9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So Christ is within, God with us. And like I said already, he wants to give it all to us, what he gave Christ. Where did Christ go after he was crucified and he rose again? And then 40 days later, where did he go? What did he tell his disciples just before he left? First of all, he says, now you go. You go tell everybody that you meet everything that I have told you. And you live according to the way I have taught you so that when people follow you, they're following me. That's what he told them. In Mark chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, there was a man that was sent to be a witness. Mark chapter 1, 6 to 8. It says, and John was clothed with camel's hair with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, if I picture John, he probably wasn't very appealing. He probably looked like we would call a bum on the streets. Just the way he was dressed, what he ate, it probably wasn't very appetizing when you watched him eat. But he was sent by God, also for one reason, to prepare the way for Jesus. He didn't do it in a big, magnificent tent or chapel or whatever. He just went out in the wilderness and he preached the gospel. He was very, as we would call, humble, down to earth. Nothing magnificent. Nothing glamorous. No bright lights, no loud music, no nothing. Just the Word of God. That's what he did. So God sent him to start the ministry of Jesus. So John started it, but Jesus finished it. What John prepared, Jesus fulfilled. It says here that in verse 8, I indeed baptize you with water, the outward sign of what has happened in here. But he says, but this Jesus, the one that's coming, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you power. He's going to give you power to overcome all your little nicks and knacks that you have that bring you away from God, to overcome them. That's what this Jesus will do. In verses 14 to 17 of that same chapter in Mark 1, it says, now after that John was put in prison, so John did his ministry. He was put in prison because he told the truth. And he lost his life because he told the truth. And after John was put in prison, who comes on stage? Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what did Jesus say? What was his first message? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That was his first message. The time is now here for you to hear the truth. Repent. Turn away from all the garbage in this world. Believe that this book, that Jesus Christ is the only way that you can get rid of your sins. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, did he say, keep on living the way you do? No, he says, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And he did that with all his disciples. He says, come, follow me, and I will teach you the true way of life. And I will teach you how to become fishers of men, to spread the gospel, to live the gospel, to breathe the gospel, to be the gospel. In verses 5 and 6 of 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, not the child, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One God, one mediator, Jesus Christ, to testify in due time. The time is today. Tomorrow, the sun may not rise for any one of us. How many people are not here, not just here this morning in this church, but how many people are not here who were here last year? Their time came. That chair is empty. Next year it could be you, and it could, or it could be me. Where is Jesus in your life? Where is Jesus in my life? Why is it important that we get to know this Jesus? Because Jesus is the only one who can make you and me worthy to stand before God blameless. He's the only one. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of stature or how important we are or where the world sees us. It doesn't matter. Justin Trudeau will stand in front of God just the way I do and you do. He will give account for himself, and I will give account for myself. It doesn't matter that he was the Prime Minister of Canada. That doesn't give him any more rights to the kingdom of God than you or me. Who is Jesus? Before we go on, I want to go over to the next part. I want to give each one of you the opportunity to go down on bended knee and talk to this Jesus. So for those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just take your blue hymnal and turn to number 81, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Number 81, for those that are able, let's stand.
Good.
After Jesus had risen and he showed himself to his disciples, in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." How many of you looked outside this morning and you saw three suns? When we came to church this morning, there was a sun and there was two sun dogs. It was beautiful. But there was only one true sun. Is our focus on the true bright light, the sun of God? Or are we distracted by the world bright lights? God says here, or Jesus said here, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He didn't say, I go and prepare a place for the whole world. Because in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world, all the people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. It doesn't say that everybody will be there. Or he didn't, not that everybody would just automatically come. He said, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's who he went to prepare a place for. And he promised us that. He promised us brighter days. We sometimes say those were the good old days. And yes, we've had good old days. Life was a lot simpler back then than it is today. Without all the technology, life was just a lot simpler. You know, yesterday we were in Superstore in the evening and the power was out. But they allowed us to shop, and they said the batteries only last so and so long, and then once the batteries go, then you can't pay for your stuff. So we stood in lineups after lineup, and then we were almost till there, and then the battery died, and then we went to the next one, and that's how we finally got out of there. But God's or Jesus's battery never dies. His light never goes out. His light always is the brightest. And he promises us good days ahead. In Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, he says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life." Did you get that? in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He tells us all the stuff you will encounter here on this earth, that is so little compared to what you will experience if you continue to focus on the true light, on the sun. In Psalms 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He's always there. He always cares. He's always watching over us. In Psalms 41, verse 3, he says, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." He's always caring. He's always there. Otherwise, he would not say, "I go and prepare a place for you." His presence is always with us. God with us. In Isaiah 43, verse 2. Isaiah 43, verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Our Jesus. This little tiny baby became a Savior. He became the Lord of Lords. He says, "I go and prepare a place." Are you going to be there? Revelation 21, verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Do we believe in eternity? Do we believe that there is a heaven? And do we believe that there is a hell? The other day, as we were driving somewhere and we had the radio on, and there was a speaker saying that there's the majority of people believe there is a hell. But the majority of the people that believe that there is a hell say or also believe that the torment will only last just a little while. And then you'll just be gone. That's not what the Bible teaches. We try to make ourselves comfort ourselves with that. That way it won't be bad if we just don't want to live for Christ. But the Bible teaches us the torment will go on for eternity. How long is that? We don't understand that. In verses 2 and 3 of John chapter 14, it talks about, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Sometimes if we have valuable possessions, we don't want to store them at home. So we rent a safety deposit box, or we buy ourselves a safe that even if there's a fire or whatever, the safe will contain and keep this thing safe. And we put the product in there so that it is safe from all the elements of the world or thieves or whatever. Do we have that type of safety deposit box. Have we made our reservations for in the place that Jesus went to prepare? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, Matthew 6, verse 20, it says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." This morning when we started off, I asked, how are we preparing for Christmas? What is the most important part of Christmas? Is it the gifts? Is it the food? Is it the decorations? Or is it Jesus? Is Jesus mentioned when we're all together as a family? In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Luke chapter 10, verse 20, it says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the book of life," or in the book, are written in heaven. We just got back from Seminole and our children in Minnesota, and we always made sure we had a room if we wanted to stay for night. We made reservations so we didn't have to bother looking around. Are our reservations made? Who's the builder of your house? Who laid the foundation? Is the foundation secure? Right now, when you walk anywhere, you walk very carefully, right? You look down and you walk, every step you take, you walk very carefully. Why? Because we don't want to fall. We don't want to get hurt. But when the roads are dry and the sidewalks are clear, we walk, we don't even look down, we just walk. So how are we walking in our life? Do we have a point where we're trying to get to? Or are we just walking? Whatever happens, happens. If there's also an icy spot, then boom, put them in the ditch. Are we careful? Is God our builder and maker? He says, "I came for all people," like we read before. I don't want the death of one sinner. I don't want anybody in hell. That's why I gave everything I had. And my son gave everything he had. He gave his life. He shed all his blood for you and me. And all he wants in return is, follow me. Do as I did. Follow what the book says. Obedience. And then he says, I will honor you. I will give you rewards. You'll be one of my jewels in the crown. The last part of our text in John says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How much truth is there in the world today? How much of what you hear over the news can you believe? That is the absolute truth. No doubts. Or how much of the stuff that's being taught in the schools can you believe is the absolute truth? Yeah, 1 times 1 is still 1, and 2 times 2 is 4. Yeah, that we can believe. But I'm talking all this other stuff. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Psalms chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, Psalms 24, 3 and 4, it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So there's access to the place he has prepared. But only the ones that are going to be walking on that narrow road. It's not for the ones that are slipping and sliding all over the world, that just don't know or don't care. Is our foundation sure? Are we prepared for Christmas? If Jesus comes to your house on Christmas Day, are you prepared? In person. You know, there's a song that says, if Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? You know, the first time I heard that song, I don't know, it's probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, maybe even longer, when I heard that song. I remember it was my wife's uncle and his family that sang that song somewhere at a gathering or whatever. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? Do I have my house in order? Do I have everything decorated to honor him? Is my heart clean? If he should come this Christmas. A number of years ago, I forget exactly how many years ago, on Christmas Day, I think it was, I had a phone call from Jonathan Friesen from Morden, and telling me his dad passed away on Christmas Day, a few hours before. Jesus came on Christmas Day. In John chapter 18, verse 34, John 18:37. Pilate therefore saith unto him, art thou a king? Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus Christ was born in a manger. He was born as a savior. And I'm sure everyone here today says, he is my savior. Is he your king? Is he the Lord of your life? Are you prepared to meet him this Christmas morning? Or before? Or after? This Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light. That bright light that I talked about just a little while ago? That's Jesus. The bright light that he wants us to focus on. And he wants us to live for it. And then in John 10:10, he says, I want to give you life. I want to give you abundant life. One that you can smile even in the worst of circumstances because you have the joy of the Lord in you. And the peace of the Lord runs in your heart. Nobody can take it away. That's the life I'm talking about. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life after death is for all eternity. We cannot escape it. People get cremated and they get their ashes thrown into the wind so that they will be gone forever. But they won't be. Remember, God created man from the dust of the ground? You think he can't gather all those ashes together and put you back together? Yes, he can, and he will. We can't escape it. In Amos chapter 4, verse 12, the last part of that verse says, prepare to meet your God. I heard a song a while back. It was called Jesus Living in Me. And part of that song goes, in my feet, Jesus is living in me. In my feet when I'm walking, in my tongue when I'm talking, in my eyes for now I see, in the songs that I'm singing, in my heart where my joy is ringing. Jesus is living in me. Is Jesus totally in charge of your life? Is Jesus living in you? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? Are you prepared for Christmas? Are you prepared for Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of this service and want to thank you for your word. You have made it so clear. We pray for the ones that are sliding around in this world. For the ones that are questioning their faith. Be there for them. Touch them. Help them back on that narrow, solid rock. We pray for families as they gather this season. Help us to look to you. Help us to be united in you. Help us to put all the little things that sometimes separate us aside and just focus on you. You have seen in the last years the chaos we've lived in and how families were separated and maybe still are. Help us to bring it back together. Help us to overcome the fear and look into the safety of your outstretched arms. Help us to see you in this Christmas season. Help us to look at ourselves so when the time comes, we don't have to be afraid of answering that question. If you come tomorrow, what then? We can answer and say, I am ready and waiting. We pray for each one gathered here this morning that you will go with them. As you have said to us in Scripture, God with us. We praise you and we honor you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We have an application or acceptance of new members this morning before we go on bended knee. So I'll ask John and Helena Friesen to stand, please, just to answer a few questions. Do you confess to be born again believers, and have you been baptized upon the confession of your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Please answer. Do you have a love for the Word of God and believe it to be the absolute truth? Please answer. Do you, by the grace of God, commit yourselves to serve in love and to live in peace and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ? Please answer. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And it says on this application, or at this acceptance, please accept as members in the Somerfelt Mennonite Church, John and Helena Friesen, with children Emma, Tyler, Logan, and Maverick. They have been visited and were recommended for acceptance by Reverend Jake Hyde and Reverend Art Weeb. At this time, I'll come hand you, reach you the hand of fellowship. And I want to give each one of you the opportunity to go on bended knee and also pray for John and Helena and their family so that they may feel welcome here, and also welcome them if you get an opportunity. So for those of you who are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take the blue book and turn to page 85. There's a song in the air. Star rings its fire while the beautiful
like to highlight a few things out of the bulletin first. Attention parents, baby dedication will be January 1st. And if you're interested in this, please register your baby with Reverend Art Weeb. Also, the ministerial lunch schedule is being updated in January. If you're interested in hosting the ministerial for lunch on Sundays, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And also, a note from the Sunday school. The Sunday school Christmas program was postponed, so we'll have the practice on Monday. The program will be on Wednesday. Both are at 7:30, and children are to arrive half an hour early. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. On behalf of my wife and myself, I'd like to extend our wish you a happy, a blessed Christmas time and a blessed and prosperous new year. May Christ be the center of your festivities, and may your family be blessed as you gather with them. So with that, I have nothing more to share with you but to thank you for coming. Thank you for your prayers. So let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace from now and forevermore. Amen. And you may go in peace with the Lord.